I am happy to have you listening today to the Ministry of Sermon and Song, and hope that you will tell somebody else about the program. I have to apologize today for the condition of my throat. I normally will not make these programs and preach these programs if I'm having throat problems, but we've just been away in a series of meetings longer than usual, away from the microphone, and we have not been able to keep up, so we must get these messages done so that we can get them to you on time. So bear with the condition of my throat today, and I will deeply appreciate it and hope that it is not irritating to you. Yesterday on the broadcast, you will remember, we read for you from John chapter 11 the basic account of the resurrection of the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Now, all the preceding part of the chapter talked about Jesus hearing about him being sick and all the conversation that went on, and we gave you all of that last week. Now, this week, we read the account itself of Lazarus being raised from the dead, and we are going to give you some comparisons between the resurrection of Lazarus from the dead and the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. There is a difference. Now, I want you to notice this, and I begin to ask myself, as I said on yesterday's program, I'm somewhat inquisitive when I read the Bible, and I was asking myself some questions, so I'm asking them and hopefully giving some kind of an answer. Maybe not the right one all the time, but at least some kind of an answer as to why these things happened as they did. First of all, we ask the question, why did not Jesus miraculously move the stone? Whenever he came to the stone, he said, "Martha, take away the stone." And she said, "By this time he stinketh." She did not want to open that grave and let the decaying body odor come up out of that grave and be embarrassed by that in front of those people. But Jesus said, open the grave, open the tomb. And then they opened the tomb, and it required faith. They had to believe that what they were doing was the right thing to do, that Jesus truly was God and could raise Lazarus from the dead, and then they had to be obedient. And we talked about that very little yesterday. They had to be obedient to him. Not only did they have to believe that he was God, which is the major theme of the book of John, they not only had to believe that Jesus was God, but they had to be willing to obey him as such, knowing that God is always right and God will never give you anything to do that is wrong. You see, our churches today are filled with people who claim to be Christians, and they will testify that they are Christians, but they are not obedient to the commands of the Word of God. They make a profession of faith, and from there on, they do their own thing. Now, my friend, that is not what the Bible teaches that a Christian will do. A Christian will be obedient. He may not everything in his life, every move that he makes may not be an obedient move, but he will be, in all most senses, he will be an obedient Christian. He will desire to please the Lord Jesus Christ. And our churches are filled with people today, and even some of those in leadership positions in our so-called fundamental churches today are going far astray from the just plain teaching of the Word of God as to what a church ought to be and what a church ought to do. The Bible just plain teaches, and if you read it enough, you'll find it there. The Bible says, just plain, be a witness for me. The Bible says, preach the Word. The Bible says, serve me. And it's a matter of preaching and praying and working and witnessing. Preaching and praying and working and witnessing. That's the method God used. God in the Bible, let me tell you folks something. Let me just tell you something. God knew all about television whenever he wrote the Bible. God wasn't ignorant of television. God wasn't ignorant of the typewriter. God wasn't ignorant of the computer. God wasn't ignorant of the radio programs. God wasn't ignorant of all of those things. But God used and chose to form his plan around the local church, doing the work of God, preaching, praying, and witnessing for Christ. And whenever you get the idea that you are smarter than God and you can invent your own way to do things, and because you can reach crowds with the worldly movements and the worldly actions in your church, the worldly events in your church, you can reach people, doesn't mean that you're doing service to God. Doesn't mean it at all. God is not limited to you and what you can do. God wants you to be obedient to him. God wants you to do what he says do in the scriptures. And I think the scripture is very clear that his plan is not by entertainment to reach people with the gospel. His plan is not by moving pictures to reach people with the gospel. His plan is not even by radio to reach people with the gospel, though we use it as a means, and it's certainly a great means of getting out the gospel. But God's means of getting out the gospel in the Bible is the local Bible-believing, born-again people meeting together, sending the gospel around the world through sending out others. Missions is certainly taught in the Bible. Sending out others with the glorious gospel of Christ, one Christian, winning another person, teaching and establishing that person in the faith, and then that person going and reaching another person, that person reaching another person, and the first thing you know, we've got the world reached for Christ. That was God's plan. Well, anything we can do to get out the gospel, I believe God puts his stamp of approval upon it, except it be with a worldly tent. I don't believe that God would have us to take the tactics of this world and try to use them to reach people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me be more specific. God doesn't want us to use worldly music to draw young people to try to preach the gospel to them. God doesn't want us to use entertaining programs in our churches to bring the people in to be entertained. God doesn't want us, now, though I see nothing wrong with having a meal in the church, at least in the buildings of the church property, I see nothing wrong with having a meal together as saints and fellowshipping together, even as the disciples did and others did. I see nothing wrong with that unless you put on a big meal to draw people. If you put on a big meal to draw people to your church, then, my friend, you have the wrong philosophy of getting out the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I kind of got off my subject just a little bit overall, but I think it's some good things that needed to be said. He said, "You remove the stone." And they had to believe he was God. They had to believe he knew what he was talking about. And then they had to be obedient. And before the work of God is done and the resurrected life of Jesus Christ reaches the poor lost sinner, we've got to do things God's way and quit doing them our way. Do them God's way just as he has commanded in Scripture.